The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the herb.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
Good afternoon and welcome to Normal Show Live. It is Wednesday, April 21st, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Join us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, music, comedy, interviews, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community, coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. It's not a typo, it's a way of life. And joining me here in the studio, our engineer, sound maestro, Ganja John.
Hey everybody, how you doing today?
Oh man, we're having a good time. John and I just got back from Tacoma, Washington. We did a presentation up there at the University of Washington in Tacoma. Hi out there to Heather, if you're listening to the show. It was a good time. We put a lot of miles on the old Rata Cruiser here, about 2,000 miles. I was down in San Francisco this weekend for the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo, and then, of course, drove up to Tacoma yesterday for that presentation. About 2,000 miles since Friday. Been a lot of driving. Also, coming to us from our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, you guys.
Hi, Carrie.
I don't know if it's because it's been so long since we've been together, but you guys sure sound sweet on the new equipment.
Oh, yeah. We have Rolla J to thank for that. That was another wonderful side effect of getting to go to San Francisco this weekend, is I did get to meet our listener, Rolla J, rolled right up to our booth, and we hung out for quite a bit and had a good time. And he, of course, donated a lot of this equipment that we're working on here at Normal Show Live. Got the 24-channel Mackie mixer that he brought, a compressor gate, and three other items that he had donated before, plus this microphone, the microphone that John's talking on. This is all Rolla J's equipment, and he just donated it to Normal because he wants to make a difference. And that's how you can make a difference, is just find out what you can give, money, your equipment, your time.
Your iPad.
iPad for Carrie, whatever, and we can make a difference. And that's something that Carrie wanted to mention here, too, at the top of the show, is, of course, yesterday was 420, and Normal had our big 420 money bomb where you could join Normal for $4.20. Carrie's got an update on that for us.
Well, I just wanted to let people that are listening now know that just for our Normal Show live listeners, if you've never been a member of Normal before, you can still join today and tomorrow for that special $4.20 rate. Now, we have all kinds of memberships available at Normal. We just thought we would take this week and urge people to join. We know not all of our listeners cannot donate. Not all of us are able to donate. But for those that are, it's a worthwhile cause. Every dollar is well spent. And there is a link up on our blog today where you can link and join Normal for $4.20. You have to actually type in $4.20, Russ, because they've taken down all the money bomb stuff from yesterday.
Right.
But you can still join at that great rate.
$4.20 for an annual membership to Normal. Your contributions help us to get the growing truth about cannabis out to everyone. Another note I wanted to give you about the Cannabis and Hemp Expo yesterday this last weekend in San Francisco. You may notice my backdrop's a little bit different here. It's all black behind me. That's because Genius here left the left the banner at the Cow Palace in San Francisco, and it has not been found yet. So anyone in San Francisco, stop by the Cow Palace, see if they've got my banner, because I miss it already. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Cannabis Carrie will be bringing us our hemp headlines. Today is Irie Wednesday. Johnny Reeferseat from Iowa will be joining us with our daily toker tune, some nice reggae music. Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us at the bottom of the hour for our weekly dose of cannabis science. You can ask your live questions and answers about the cannabis science right there at 30 after in the chat. And then at the end of the show, a little bit of radical
rant. You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and THCF has clinics in 10 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, and Rhode Island. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or call 1-800-723-0188.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
According to media attention across the country, April 20th, long celebrated by tokers for its numerical significance, is no longer a secret code word. Activists and recreationalists alike took to the streets and parks of the U.S. and Canada and held events to celebrate the cannabis consumer's lifestyle. In Canada, there were large public smoking events in Toronto, Victoria, Ottawa, Regina, Edmonton, and Calgary held a 420 film festival. In Vancouver, an estimated 3,000 people attended a rain-soaked event to smoke publicly right at 420. As hundreds of activists openly smoke marijuana on the lawn in front of Canadian Parliament's center block, Federal Justice Minister Rob Nicholson was announcing a new tough-on-crime bill at a news conference and was repeatedly asked about the point of maintaining a law prohibiting marijuana possession when it is so openly ignored. Nicholson answered that he doesn't encourage public marijuana use, but efforts of police are zeroed in to target traffickers and manufacturers. More than 2,000 people openly smoked on the front lawn of the Manitoba legislature in Winnipeg and hundreds outside of the Alberta legislature. Now, in the U.S., those celebrating did hit a few state house lawns, like the hundreds that showed up in New Hampshire, but mostly they celebrated in parks and campuses. Denver Civic Center Park was filled with over 10,000 supporters at a day-long rally, and the largest unauthorized public smokeout held annually on the campus of the University of Colorado was attended by more than 8,000. Empire State Normal held a rally at Union Square Park, where the crowd observed a moment of silence at 4:19 to remember Jack Hara, who passed away last Thursday. Screenings of a concert film, Fish 3D, were played in Boston, Chicago, Denver, L.A., New York, and Washington, D.C. to honor the date. And California had public displays of celebration all over the state, like Golden Gate Park and a few thousand at Porter Meadow at the University of California, Santa Cruz. San Francisco news outlets reported that the famous Haight-Ashbury section of the city was filled with people walking down the street smoking joints. A longtime resident commented that people were coming to the neighborhood like the Grateful Dead was back in town. Some Californians did not miss the fact that this could be the last 420 celebration where celebrating is still illegal. Smaller events were reported from Alaska, Hawaii, Alabama, and campuses in Minnesota, Illinois, and all over New York State. This year's surprise guest at all these rallies was, of course, the media.
Wow, it was a really good 420. Of course, we were up in Tacoma at the University of Washington giving a presentation. That audio of that presentation is available on our Stash feed. You can go to iTunes, look for the Normal Daily Audio Stash, or go to our blog at stash.normal.org, and you can download the audio. Later on, Ganja John's going to take the audio and the slideshow that I gave for that presentation, mash them up together, and make a great YouTube video out of it. So we'll let you know when that comes up. It's a great, you know, about an hour and 7 minutes, tells you everything you need to know about how marijuana has become so popular these days and what we're doing to re-legalize it. Also, wanted to make note of these news stories that we bring you. If you're interested in following the news from Normal, a really great way you can do that is to get our iPhone app. We have a Normal News iPhone app that you can get. It's 99 cents at the iStore and iTunes iStore, whatever the hell it's called. And when you give that 99 cents, you're helping Normal. You're donating to Normal. Here's the app. John's got his phone. It should be loading here anytime here. We'll take a look at that once it's up and available. But yeah, get that iPhone app, and then you can know that 99 cents is helping out the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Let me switch over here to John's cam, and you'll get a look of what that iPhone app looks a little bit like. You can see the Remember Prohibition up there. So also, if you've got a 420 celebration you'd like us to tell folks about, go ahead and send us an email at stash@normal.org, and we'll be glad to tell people about what's going on in your area. 420, of course, is now just becoming almost a national holiday. The G4 TV network yesterday had an entire day dedicated to stoner programming on G4. And, of course, it was all over the news and all over magazines and newspapers as well. For those of you that don't know, if you still don't know where 420 came from, it's not the police code for marijuana smoking in progress. It's not the number of chemicals that you find in marijuana smoke. It is Bob Dylan's Rainy Day Women number 12 and 35. 12 times 35 is 420. That's kind of neat to know. But the actual genesis of 420 comes from the 1970s and a group of high school kids that called themselves the Waldos, and they all used to gather at San Rafael High School after their extracurricular activities, which would end up being about 420. They'd gather at this particular statue. One of the Waldos ended up becoming a roadie for the Grateful Dead, and while he was out on tour with the Dead, he would tell people the legend of 420, and they'd meet at 420, and that's how it kind of spread throughout the community. But if you wanted to know, that's where it came from. That's the story of 420.
And medical marijuana advocates in Oregon suffered two legal setbacks last week as separate court decisions spelled out clear limits for the program approved by voters in 1998. On Thursday, April 15th, the Oregon Supreme Court overturned a previous Court of Appeals ruling in the case of Emerald Steel Fabricators, Inc. versus the Bureau of Labor and Industries. The case stemmed from the termination of Anthony Skeevers from his job as a steel press operator. He was a temporary employee that was about to be hired as a permanent employee when he was told he would be required to take a drug test. Skeevers, who had a medical marijuana card, showed his foreman, who then discussed it with the owner, and they decided against hiring him. He filed a complaint with the Bureau of Labor and Industries alleging discrimination due to disability and the company's failure to accommodate him. The original court ruled in favor of Skeevers, and the Court of Appeals agreed in a June 2008 ruling. Well, the Supreme Court overturned the lower court's decision with the ruling that an employer is not required to hire or retrain an employee who tests positive for medical marijuana, regardless of whether he was authorized to use the substance under the state's medical marijuana statute. Oregon's largest business lobby, the Association of Oregon Industries, applauded the decision, saying that employers should feel free to consistently apply zero-tolerance policies, disciplining those who violate and refusing to hire those applicants who fail drug screens. J.L. Wilson, their vice president, said the Supreme Court finally interjected common sense into what Oregon lawmakers had botched. Patient advocates groups argue that making someone choose between medication and employment unfairly singles out cannabis over much stronger pharmaceuticals. The Oregon Court of Appeals also ruled last week to uphold the conviction of a California man who was stopped for speeding near Portland in November 2006 for possession of 2 pounds of marijuana found in his car. He had argued that the state of California recognized his legal use of medical marijuana. The courts did not agree. Oregon, along with most of the other medical marijuana states, do not observe reciprocity laws, meaning they do not recognize any medical marijuana recommendations from other medical marijuana states.
You know, this pair of stories, first of all, for the Supreme Court decision to come down on April 15th, that was just sad because that was the day Jack left us, you know. So, you know, to have those two things happening at the same time was kind of a bummer. This Oregon Supreme Court decision, this just highlights what I've always been saying about medical marijuana, is that medical marijuana is just another form of second-class citizenship. You know, you remember when, well, you don't remember when, you weren't there, but when we ended slavery in America, 14th Amendment, Emancipation Proclamation, we ended slavery, go forth, you're free, but you have to drink at a different water fountain, you have to go in the back door, you can't date white women, etc. You can't get certain jobs, you can be fired for being who you are, you have to go to a different lunch counter, etc. This is what we're facing as medical marijuana patients in America today, second-class citizenship. Now, I know they don't have the different water fountains or lunch counters or anything, but they can fire you or not hire you solely because of your status as a medical marijuana patient. Not just for testing positive on a drug test, mind you, just for having the card is what this ruling means. And there are all sorts of housing issues where your housing can be discriminated against. You can be denied housing or kicked out of housing by your landlord if you're using medical marijuana. Your jobs are not safe. Your kids are not safe. We did the story on the woman who has lost custody of her child for 2 years, the Canadian woman, because of her advocacy for marijuana. Organ transplants, you face the loss of getting on an organ transplant list if you're using medical marijuana. So in so many instances, the choice is to use the safest therapeutically active substance known to man to maintain your health or have a job. Or have your kids, or, right? You can't have both. Now, had you been using OxyContin, Vicodin, Percocet, any of these numerously very methadone, even very harmful addictive substances, you could not be discriminated against in the hiring and the firing and all of these things. And this brings me to something I kind of noted the other day. I was watching the local TV, the Ion Television, and they rerun old movies sometimes. And one of the movies they reran was Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, and Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. This, of course, was Tom Hanks won his first Oscar playing a gay attorney who had been fired because of his HIV/AIDS status, because he was HIV positive. And, of course, the court case goes through about how this is discrimination against him. There's a stigma against AIDS patients. He would face this discrimination because of that stigma. It was unfair to discriminate against him. It was unfair and wrong to fire him. And the whole time I'm watching this show, I'm inserting medical marijuana in my mind wherever they say HIV/AIDS. Try that. Watch the movie Philadelphia and just think medical marijuana rather than HIV/AIDS and see how that movie plays out. Because the way I see it, it's the same exact type of discrimination. The only slight difference is that the federal government never recognized the HIV/AIDS virus as a Schedule I controlled substance. That's the only difference. Because they recognize cannabis as a Schedule I federal controlled substance, this is giving the courts in Oregon, in California with the Raging Wire decision, and all of the medical marijuana states, giving their Supreme Courts this opportunity to dismiss us and to allow this second-class citizenship because they can always defer to the federal law. Well, it's still illegal federally. There's nothing we can do about it. That's why it's time to re-legalize now.
And there were quite a few cannabis-friendly websites and a few businesses that took advantage of the cannabis holiday to launch their ventures. Businesses that complement the cannabis consumer's lifestyle and culture have become a lucrative industry. One of the more interesting business models to launch this week on April 20th was a cannabis-friendly hotel in Los Angeles. Real estate investor John Evangelista bought the historic Hotel Normandy in the heart of LA's Koreatown and is remodeling the 106-room landmark to become America's first pot-friendly hotel. Their marketing tagline is, "Forget Amsterdam, all roads lead to the Normandy." The Normandy will offer special two-day packages for $420. So far, only a handful of rooms have been refurbished, but Evangelista, along with Dennis Perrone, one of the first dispensary owners in San Francisco, have big plans for the brick building. They would like to eventually reopen a restaurant and nightclub that were first opened in the 1920s. For now, visitors can enjoy vending machines in the lobby and not having to roll up a towel for the bottom of the door.
Oh, that's great. A hotel for cannabis consumers, that's a wonderful thing. Interesting to hear that Dennis Perrone is involved with that, because Dennis Perrone was just at the San Francisco Expo telling people to not vote for legalization. Yeah, you heard me right. Dennis Perone, the man who is behind Prop 215, is telling people to vote against the legalization initiative that's on the California ballot. We'll talk about that at the end of the show in my radical rant. But this idea of a cannabis-friendly hotel is one that's also being floated in the United States Virgin Islands. Our chapter down there is working on putting a hotel like that together, and a medical marijuana law, or just a legalization law, I believe, is what they're working on. And the possible tourism for that, my goodness, you don't need a passport to go to the Virgin Islands. That would be a lot of fun. Hotel Normandy, we'll have to check that out next time we're in Los Angeles. And I will be in Los Angeles this weekend at the THC Exposé at the LA Convention Center. Check us out all weekend. We'll be broadcasting live, as much as I can get to you live there from the THC Exposé. All right, well, that sound tells me that it's 20 after the hour, and we got to take us a break. When we come back, your Daily Toker Tunes, Irie Wednesday with Johnny Reeferseed.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Which of you are ready to admit to having used marijuana in the past? And they want us to go around and ask each of you. Senator Kerry? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Lieber?
Well, you know, I have a reputation for giving unpopular answers at Democratic debates. I never use marijuana. Sorry.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Senator.
Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine. Smoke a little pot. A little while. Everything will be just fine.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, available now on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, right about now, we'd be going to Iowa to speak to Johnny Reeferseed from Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers, who brings us our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tune. But Johnny Reeferseed is unavailable right at the moment. I believe that Iowa is still celebrating 420, so that may be what's going on there. But we, of course, still have some music. This is a great tune that Johnny brings us from Oba Simba, and the song is called This Herb.
Just give me a second, let me take a dry, you know. Oh, 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 oh.
tell from the smell, it's the highest grade. Noof, noof, but it ain't gonna waste, cause I love the blaze of the Mary Jane. Puff, puff, puff it up all day. Wicked heart tremble when the chalice blaze. A good stuff flowing through my brain. Tranquilize the pain.
This herb for our Daily Toker Tunes. This will be available online at our blog, stash.normal.org. You'll be able to download that after you register and create your account. We're right back with Dr. Mitch Earlywine and Cannabis Science.
It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time for our cannabis community calendar, which you will find at norml.org/calendar. First of all, for our show calendar, this Thursday we'll have our regular show, and then Friday I will be in Los Angeles at the THC Exposé. This is the second annual THC Exposé at the Los Angeles Convention Center, and there it's a 3-day event, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'm going to live stream all 3 days. I'm running a booth there, and we'll just get questions and answers, and we'll do some talking with some of the guests and some of the speakers and presenters there at the THC Exposé. Check it out all this weekend at live.normal.org. All right, coming up for some of our normal chapters all around the country, you can check out this cannabis community calendar at normal.org/calendar. The Benzie County Normal on Wednesday, April 21st, will be having their meeting. They always meet on the third Wednesday of every month. You can contact Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496 in Benzonia County, Michigan. Also, CSU Fresno Normal is having a meeting and symposium at the Family Food and Science Building, Room 216A at the CSU Fresno campus in Fresno, California. Thursday, April 22nd, University of New Hampshire Normal is having their meeting, and Washington Normal is having an Eastern Washington University panel discussion and movie, Marijuana, It's Time for a Conversation, featuring Rick Steves, the PBS travel host, one of our good friends here at Normal Show Live. That will be at 6 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow, Thursday, April 22nd, at Eastern Washington University. For more information, check out wanormal.org. On Friday, April 23rd, the THC Exposé begins, and Washington Normal Washington State will be having a Green Week celebration. Again, wanormal.org for information. And Kansas City Normal, KC Normal, will be at the Beaumont Club in Kansas City, Missouri, with the band Seed Love, Afro Zep, and Blue Rhythm Band. They'll be there tabling and getting information out on the growing truth about cannabis. On this weekend, Saturday, April 24th, Oregon Normal is having their twice-monthly cardholders meeting at the Village Ballroom in Portland, Oregon. We'll be streaming that live. Oh, no, we won't. We won't be streaming that live. I won't be here. Never mind. But the cardholder meeting's taking place on Saturday, and you can learn more about that at ornormal.org, ornorml.org. Kansas City Normal's having their public meeting as well on Saturday, and that's everything up through the weekend on our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right. Every Wednesday, we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, a professor of psychology at State University of New York, Albany. Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the show. Hello, Dr. Mitch. Are you there?
Great to be on the show, as usual.
Oh, there you are. We just got you back in here in the studio. We've got a whole bunch of new...
Yeah, great to be on the show, as usual.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of new studio equipment. It's giving us some trouble, but we're glad to have you here. How was your 420?
No, I've had drug tests come up, so it was not as celebratory as it could be. But this morning, I did negative PAC, so my these are number dots trend.
Oh, boy, that's good. We're glad to hear that things are working out for you okay. We get our questions here from our chat room. Everybody that's got questions about history, science, culture, or health, anything you'd want to know about cannabis, Dr. Mitch usually has the answer or knows where you can look it up. So we'll just get right into the questioning here. First of all, we have some folks that are using cannabis salves, using topical preparations of cannabis, and they're finding great relief of it for things like arthritis, soreness, gout, and so on. But we want to know, if someone uses these cannabis products topically, can they get the high?
As it turns out, THC is supposed to be transmitted, so it shouldn't be absorbed over the skin, but it could go through mucous membranes. It sort of depends on where you're rubbing it, to speak. High, though, if working on your, say, arms and elbows, you're not going to be experiencing any high, even if you are experiencing a lot of relief.
Dr. Mitch, we're having a little bit of trouble with your telephone connection. I think we're losing in, and it's fading in and out here. So we're gonna call an audible here in football speak. I'm gonna have Carrie try to redial the connection to you to get us a better connection. And while you do, I'll just continue on here with a little segment that I've got prepared. Will that be okay, Doctor?
Sounds great. Sounds great. Talk to you soon.
Oh. Okay, so we'll bring Dr. Mitch back here just as soon as we can get a good connection. In the meantime, I'd like to tell everyone a little bit about what happened on my trip down to San Francisco. My wife and I drove together, and she took the wheel for part of the trip. And during that part of the trip, I'm checking out my BlackBerry, right? And I'm getting on the Twitter, and I'm seeing what's going on with everybody in the world. When I get this tweet from one of the people I follow, and I don't know who it was, but they gave me this this tweet that basically said to sign a Facebook petition to protest against Dr. Drew. You know, Dr. Drew, the celebrity rehab guy, was on Loveline with Adam Carolla for a long, long time.
He's still on Loveline.
Is he still on Loveline?
Yeah, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so Dr. Drew, anyway, he's on all these different shows, does the celebrity rehab and so on. But this this post that I got on Twitter was saying to sign this Facebook petition to protest Dr. Drew for saying that you should plant drugs on people in order to get them into rehab, right? Plant drugs on them so that they get busted, and then the court forces them to go to rehab. And this all stemmed from a story that he had written, a post he had written about Lindsay Lohan, right? Lindsay Lohan, the actress who's often rumored to have so many problems.
Hey there, I'm on a better note.
Is always rumored to have so many problems with drugs and alcohol. So Dr. Drew actually direct messaged me regarding this controversy over what he said on Huffington Post. And we'll get to that a little bit later. I'll save that for the end of the show. And just a little bit of preview there. My personal conversation with Dr. Drew via Twitter coming up after this segment. We've got Dr. Mitch back on the line. We'll see if we've got a better phone connection. Dr. Mitch, can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Oh, okay. I think we've got a better connection, although we've got some bit of delay there, but we'll deal with that. We'd asked you the question about topical preparations of cannabis, salves or oils that you would rub on the skin. Will that get someone high?
Bottom line should be no, but THC is transmittable through mucous membrane, so it depends on where you're rubbing it.
Okay, so anybody out there wants to do some experimentation and tell us how it turns out, we'd be glad to know. All right, we've got a question here from Stereotype, who's asking about finding out the various constituents of cannabis, the levels of cannabidiol and THC and so on, and wants to know, in using gas chromatography on cannabis, are there any public resources where someone could take their weed and get this gas chromatography to figure out what is what's in their cannabis?
In theory, no, but a lot of labs, if you're willing to shell out $300, they're willing to pretty much analyze anything you want. So I think if you could go in and drop some hints and talk about how interesting it would be and get a person behind the desk who's also intrigued by the question, you could probably make it happen, but formally, if you call it, you're going to hear no.
All right. We have a question from the NorCal Kid who asks your suggestions on literature people can find to get reliable information on the studies and other information related to cannabis science. And I know, of course, your books would be great sources for that as well. So any recommendations?
Well, so Understanding Marijuana would be great. Leslie Iverson's book, The Science of Marijuana, is also superb. There's fun stories and interesting scientific information in the Safer book, the one that Paul Armentano just put out, Why Are They Driven Us to Dream? And I think those, if you read those, it'd be quite the matter. You'd certainly more than 90% of Americans.
Yeah, those would definitely be good sources of information, all available through Amazon.com and other sources. Okay, we've got a question coming from Matter of Liberty, who wants to know, are there drug tests that can measure nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood accurately? Anything that's available to the public for blood testing of THC levels?
Not some you could say person on the internet and use at home, there is such an estimate. Certainly been the ear screens that are available, which would test, have you used cannabis within the last 2 weeks. These blood tests are only available to commercial labs, considering you've had cannabis in the last few hours.
Okay. Another question coming in here, wondering if there's been any more research done on a supposed link between cannabis use and testicular cancer.
The links between cannabis and testicular cancer haven't been well established. There's clearly something going on with cannabis and testicles, but the literature, actual cancer has been going in both directions or showing effect. So I'm afraid it's still too soon to tell, in part because testicular cancer is relatively rare, despite how frightening it sounds. And as more cannabis users are aging, we'll probably have more and more of those data.
Okay, and of course, do have some research when we look at other types of cancers in regard to cannabis smoking, and so far the preliminary research has been pretty good.
For decades now, Don Paskey has been looking at cannabis and lung cancer, and nothing's showing up. I mean, it's had its chance, and that's just going to happen. The head and neck cancer literature had a few years ago, it looked like there was an association, but we saw another study that actually showed a negative link where this was actually a mild number against those cancers. So I think that's probably be a wash.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Dr. Mitch, I want to thank you for joining us here for Cannabis Science. We're still having some sort of issue with the Skype connection, and I don't know what's causing it, but everyone deserves to be able to hear your answers, and I'm having problems getting that good connection. So we'll work on that, and we'll bring you back next Wednesday for a longer segment. But at this point, I think we're just going to have to try to fix it in the post-production, okay? Sorry about that, Dr. Mitch.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
All right, 41 after the hour. We'll be right back with some radical ranting.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty, but we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experiences of our cannabis community.
All right, welcome back. 43 after the hour. And again, I apologize for the bad Skype connection with Dr. Mitch. I know how much people look forward to that segment, but it was just unlistenable, and we'll get that fixed. I'm a little perplexed, too, because we use the same Skype connection to get to Carrie, and Carrie sounded great, so I don't know what might have been happening, but we will definitely get that worked out. Now, I was about to tell you a little bit more about that Dr. Drew thing. Before we do, I want to confirm, is this true that Lisa from our chat room just donated $420 to Normal?
That's actually what I'm hearing. Lisa Boston, if I'm correct, and
If she did that, I want to give her a big old kiss.
Yeah, that's sweet. Thank you, Lisa. We appreciate that so much. All right. As I was telling you, I was driving down to San Francisco when I got this tweet from these people that said to sign this Facebook petition to protest against Dr. Drew. And so I took a look at the story, and it just seemed horrible because what it was Dr. Drew talking about Lindsay Lohan and how much trouble she might be in, or how she might be in relapse, or, you know, is battling severe addiction. And he was just saying, as a father, he would do anything to get his daughter into treatment, anything, even if that meant having to plant drugs in her purse so that she would be caught and have to go to court and then end up getting sentenced to treatment. So I signed that petition, and I was really surprised to get a direct message that came in. And for those of you who don't know how Twitter works, Twitter is just kind of like this broadcast chat system, text messaging system. But within it, you can get direct messages to the people that are following you. You can send it straight to them. So it's like a personal text message. So I got this personal text message back from Dr. Drew that said, please read Before You Pass Judgment, and it linked to the Huffington Post piece where he said, if I were Lindsay Lohan's father, I would plant drugs in her purse and blah, 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 blah. So I read it, and I still feel the same way. In fact, I tweeted back to Dr. Drew, okay, Dr. Drew, I read it. Judgment, using jail threat to bring you more clients is still wrong. Even if disease, it's no crime. I'm ACOA, by the way. And for those of you not familiar with all the terms from 12 Steps and all, ACOA is adult child of alcoholic. So I was letting Dr. Drew know that, hey, I kind of know what I'm talking about here. I've lived it, right? So the next tweet I get back from Dr. Drew says, that's cool, and I have no issue with Normal's position, but as you see, using the law helps me for those in dire straits. So Dr. Drew's basically saying, yeah, I know, but, you know, if I can use the courts, if I can use the threat of prison to get someone into rehab, then that helps me out, you know, as a counselor. So, I wrote back to him, you know, and then he continued and said, you'd be surprised. We get mandated treatment all the time. By the way, be clear, I am not interested in bumming anyone's high. And so he goes on and to talk about how when he had that Sober House program that he had Steven Adler in, and they had to call law enforcement on Steven Adler, the former, I don't know, was he the drummer from Guns N' Roses? I forget.
I think he was a drummer.
Somebody from Guns N' Roses, yeah. Steven Adler. Severe heroin addiction, and so they had to call the cops on him, and they got in front of an enlightened judge. Dr. Drew writes, we got him in front of an enlightened judge, and he was sentenced to rehab, and that saved Steven Adler's life. And so I tweeted back to Dr. Drew, you can't guarantee an enlightened judge for all the non-Steven Adlers. Most people you'd plant drugs on would get prison, aka lousy rehab. So that was my tweet back to Dr. Drew. And then he direct messaged to me again. He said, you'd be surprised. We get mandated treatment all the time. And then asks, and he said, it really helps him out. And then I said, well, Dr. Drew, sure, it helps you out. So would a gun to their head and you saying, go to rehab. That would get him to rehab. Regardless of what you're doing, framing people for their own good is still wrong, right? It's wrong no matter why you're doing it. And he also complained, Dr. Drew also complained about how addiction was such a terrible disease. This was in his Huffington Post piece, because he has to convince the person that they have the disease, right? Well, in my mind, if you still have to convince someone to go to rehab, they're not ready to go to rehab yet. There's that old joke about, you know, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but the light bulb has to want to change, right? So I totally disagree with this coerced treatment here. So he comes back, Dr. Drew comes back and instant messages me and asks, are you a father? Right? Like, I can't understand, you know, he's a father, so of course it's different. You know, what about the children? You know, it's different because he's a dad and he'd do anything to save her, even, you know, planting drugs in her purse. So I had to tweet back and I said, no, I'm not a father, but my dad was an addict. Him in prison would have ruined my life. He chose rehab. Dr. Drew tweets back to me, what if his disease was such that he could not choose and he died and someone could have gotten him in but didn't? Well, look, my dad's addiction, which you don't know anything about, Dr. Drew, my dad was a regular speed addict and also alcohol, right? And tried to quit cold turkey numerous times. I remember distinctly when I was 11 or 12 years old, him in a rented trailer in the back lawn of our home, out there in a rented trailer by himself, locked in for 3 weeks, trying to kick speed and alcohol. So I have some idea that maybe his addiction was pretty serious. And he did not directly choose. In fact, if you want to think about that, it's not like he sat down one day and said, you know what? I've got a problem. I think I'll go to rehab. No, my dad was standing in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. on a weekend on the bridge between Payette and Ontario, Ontario, Oregon, Payette, Idaho, over the Snake River, standing on the rail, ready to jump in and commit suicide. When he tells me that he felt or heard the voice of Jesus, literally heard the voice of Jesus telling him he had too much to live for, he had to live for his children and to go to rehab. So, Dr. Drew, I have some idea about how hard it is for addicts to choose rehab, and yet my dad did it. And I would still prefer, if the choice was my dad committing suicide, jumping in that river, or being sent to an American prison for what he chose to do to himself, I would still choose the suicide, because at least my dad would have died a free man. At least he would have died under his own volition and wouldn't have been forced to become one of your clients and help make you money. So I was a little offended by that, and I told him that story. I, you know, basically told it in 140 characters or less. But that is my story of the tweet battle with Dr. Drew from the Sober House and the Love Line and all of that. All right, let's get back to another subject here. Carrie wanted to bring this up, so we'll bring Carrie back on the line with regard to our 420 pledge drive that's going on here at Normal, and we want to get people involved. So I'll turn things over to Carrie.
Oh, well, I just wanted to let people know, if you can afford more than $4.20 today, that if you go to our website at secure.normal.org/join, I'm going to put a link up in the chat room, you can also get all kinds of great swag. It's not like you're just paying money for nothing. I mean, you're really paying money to help Normal fight cannabis prohibition and change the laws nationwide, but you also get all kinds of cool stuff. Russ, do you have one of those Rick Steves hemp day packs? Those are so awesome.
I do have the Rick Steves hemp backpacks, and my cat peed on both of them.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Wait a second.
Nice.
I thought Isis
bad
only peed
kitty,
on the one.
Bad kitty.
No, she peed on both of them. She also peed on some of the equipment that I had here in the studio.
Yeah, this cat has a lead deficiency. Ooh. We're gonna fix it, though.
Yeah, well, we'll take care of that. So yes, do get involved with Normal. You can still join for 420 for the today and tomorrow through our special. You do have to type the 420 in yourself to be able to get that special rate. Thanks, Carrie, for reminding us about that. Also, folks, check out the iPhone app, the Normal News on iPhone, 99¢. That's also a donation to Normal. To round things out for today, I'd like to talk a little bit about this San Francisco Expo. I was just out at the Cow Palace, the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo. Wonderful event. I even got quoted in the San Francisco Chronicle because they were asking about the growers in Humboldt County and how concerned they are about legalization, and that if we legalize, there'd be such an economic problem in Humboldt County. And my quote was basically, well, tough. You know, what, we should throw people in prison so you can keep making money? That's not the way it's going to be. And you know, they don't really have to worry about this either, because the way I see it happening is when California re-legalizes, I see Humboldt, Trinity, all these Emerald Triangle counties, Mendocino, becoming kind of the Napa or Sonoma of cannabis. I see bud tours like they have winery tours, you know, bud tasting rooms like they have wine tasting rooms. They could be like Champagne France and actually trademark the name Mendocino, or trademark the name Humboldt, and process or sell their goods as a high quality organic hand grown marijuana. Right? There is so much economic opportunity to be had in re-legalization that the people who are only seeing this as always having been black market growers and sellers are really blinded. They're really narrow-minded if they can't see how much more they could make and how much more opportunity and more jobs there are, not just in the buying and selling of cannabis, but all of the related things that will happen. The tourism industry. We talked about that LA pot hotel that's opening up. All the possible bed and breakfasts in the Emerald Triangle that would be cannabis friendly? Oh my God, that's a gold mine waiting to be opened up there. So I was really surprised in this expo to find out and have people coming to the booth all day who were asking me, well, what do you think about this California? Do you think we should really vote for it? I'm like, what? You're serious? You're here at a cannabis and hemp expo asking me whether you should vote for legalization? Yes, of course you should vote for legalization. Well, what I didn't realize is that earlier in that day, before I had gotten there, Dennis Perrone had been on stage. Now, Dennis Perrone, very, very famous for having passed Prop 215, activist in San Francisco, been working, had his cannabis cafes and doing the dispensaries and so on long before it was legal. So, you know, a god in this industry, right? You know, just looked upon the highest of the high, so to speak. Dennis Perrone had been on stage telling people to not vote for the legalization initiative, filling people's heads with the ideas that if we vote for this legalization initiative, the corporations will come in. The big corporations will come in and they'll flood the market with this bad weed. Well, who's going to buy that bad weed, Dennis, if people are still growing good weed in Humboldt, right? And why is everybody always so upset about big corporations? It always cracks me up to be reading some rant against big corporations written by someone using a computer that was made by a big corporation over a wireless network that is run by a big corporation through a telecommunications network that's run by a big corporation, you know, driving a car made by a big corporation. Anyway, so that's one of the things he was saying. The other thing he was saying is that it would make it worse than what they have now, because of the limits of the 5x5 growing space and only being able to possess an ounce. Well, what he failed to point out also is that the Tax Cannabis Initiative doesn't get rid of Prop 215. So if you still want to be a Prop 215 patient, pay your $99 to get your recommendation, you can still grow as much as you can grow now. You can still go to the dispensaries you go to now. You can still have as much weed as you have now. It's just that the people who aren't medical won't get busted anymore. So I was just appalled that someone would be telling people, someone so revered in the marijuana movement, would be telling people to vote against legalization. Now, is it the perfect legalization initiative? No. No, it's not. You know, no initiative is perfect. None of these laws are perfect. They have to make compromises. They have to think, well, what can we write that will actually get a majority of the vote? Not just the stoners, not just the people who are progressive on the issue, but what's going to sell in the East counties? What's going to sell among the conservative folks, the older folks, right? So part of that involves compromise. And I think a 5x5 garden is too small. I agree with the people who say that.
Now, wait, well, we can make this 5x5 garden 90 feet tall. There is no limit on how tall it could be, so right. We just build the box taller and taller.
There you go. We could have a 3-story grow box. So there's that. But then the other thing about this is that what they don't realize is that once you legalize the growing of marijuana for personal use, the smell of marijuana or a report from an anonymous tipster that you're growing marijuana is no longer probable cause for a search warrant.
Ah.
See, all these cops, a lot of times these busts happen, you know, cops will be in a neighborhood and, oh, I smell skunk. And then they'll start, you know, doing some investigation, get some search warrants, and then they find out that you got too much or whatever. Well, now if they go to the neighborhood and, I smell skunk, so what? It's legal to grow it. Could be being grown by anyone. They can't get that search warrant, and they can't find out whether you're growing a bigger than 5x5 garden. Now, can they? So it's just a matter of keeping your mouth shut and letting the legality work for you. That point alone, making it so possession of cannabis or the smell of cannabis or the purchasing of grow lights, indoor grow lights, all of those things will no longer be probable cause. That's what's so beautiful about this legalization. And so when I got up to talk, I talked to these Californians. I had a 30-minute talk that I gave, and I pointed out to them that you're not just voting for California legalization here, right? You guys have it so good. I mean, at this expo, you could show up, if you're 18 or older, you could show up to the expo, stand in line, pay $99 to a doctor for a recommendation, get that recommendation, go to another line, get yourself a wristband. Then with your wristband, go into the main area where they're, you know, selling bongs and all the other things, and then go outside to this fenced off 215 area, they called it, and openly smoke cannabis in the parking lot of the Cow Palace. So what I'm afraid of is that Californians got it too good. When people vote, they vote against a crisis, like the sky is going to fall unless we make this vote. And I'm afraid that too many Californians are going to say, well, psh, I got mine. Psh, I can already go to dispensaries. I already got my recommendation. I've got these events now that I can go to where I can smoke outside. So what's the problem? What do I need to get all excited about legalization for? Well, the reason why is that you're not voting for legalization for California. You're voting for legalization for America. As California goes, so goes the country. And if this 2010 vote happens and it fails, they won't be looking at it nationwide as, oh, it failed because it was only a 5x5 garden, or it failed only because it wasn't this or that. They'll just be saying, look, even California doesn't want to legalize. Why would we even think of it? So remember that, Californians. They're not thinking about the details of this nationwide. They're thinking of the word legalize. And if you pass that, it makes it possible for all the other states to move forward. You fail at this, California, and it puts us all back 10 years. It's up to you. You guys can do it. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry and everyone here at normal.org. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.